brought to you by Penguin.
Mona of the Manor by Armistead Maupin. Read by Mara Wilson.
For Chris, forever. As a woman, I have no country. As a woman, I want no country. As a woman, my country is the whole world. Virginia Woolf. 1. The Manor Awaits. According to her guidebook, they had already entered the fabled heart of England, but Rhonda Blaylock could see only a watery green blur from the window of the train as it rumbled through the countryside. The rain hadn't let up since they'd left London.
"We'll be nice and cozy at the manor house," she said, keeping things light with her husband, who was already being grumpy about the weather. She loved hearing the words manor house trip so naturally off her tongue. She had never before even had occasion to say that, unless you counted Manor House Barbecue, where she and Ernie celebrated their silver anniversary back home in North Carolina. Now they were headed for a real manor house, one built in Elizabethan times, and she could barely contain her excitement.
"Did you tell them when we're coming?" muttered Ernie, his face pressed sullenly against the window.
"Of course." She had called from the station in Oxford for just that reason. "A nice-sounding man said he'd heat up our bedpans."
Her husband turned and gaped at her.
"Do what?"
She giggled at her mistake.
"Bed warmers, whatever. It's something old-timey they do for guests when they turn down your bed. I think he was the butler."
"Why?"
"He called himself Wilfred. No last name."
"I thought butlers were always addressed by their last name."
Now Ernie was just looking for a fight, and she would have none of that. This would not be the costliest accommodation on their 10-city European tour. That title went to a fancy Marriott in Paris. But it was the one that Rhonda had dreamed of ever since she'd received a postcard confirming receipt of their Diners Club payment. On one side, there was a quaint pen and ink drawing of Easley House. On the other was a personal message from the lady of the manor. "Welcome to my home," it said, and it was signed, in purple ink no less, by Lady Rawton herself. "We're so looking forward to your visit." That sounded sweetly personal to Rhonda. Not just looking forward, but so looking forward. Like an old friend from high school welcoming you to her beach cottage in Nag's Head. But this was an English aristocrat, a total stranger, really, whose family had lived in this house for almost 5 centuries. Such easy graciousness seemed above and beyond, even if it was costing the Blaylocks £1,000 for a 3-night stay. She was so glad she'd come across that little classified ad in Southern Living magazine. This was going to be something special. They got off the train, as instructed, at Morton and Marsh, a quaint village built of golden Cotswold limestone. The wind and driving rain played havoc with their collapsible umbrellas and sent Ernie into another tirade.
"We'll get you a nice hot toddy at the Black Bear," she said, hooking her arm into Ernie's as they scrambled up the street, wheeling their luggage behind them.
Wilfred had told her about the pub and how to ask the bartender for a driver to Easley House. So that's what they did when they got inside and shook off the rain.
"The driver's name is Colin," said the bartender. "Be here in 20 minutes. Bald fellow with big black eyebrows. 2 hot toddies coming up. How about some lovely Scotch eggs on the house while you're waiting?"
"What's that?" Ernie asked suspiciously.
Rhonda told him before the bartender could.
"It's a hard-boiled egg wrapped in sausage and fried in breadcrumbs. Come on, Ernie, you like all those things."
She had just read about Scotch eggs in an English romance novel, so it tickled her to be offered one in real life.
"We'll take 2, she told the bartender. "And never mind that face my husband is making. He's been working too hard lately."
Ernie had put his law practice on hold for the better.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?